Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesday nights, I put a scripture up on the overhead, found in a prophet in the Old Testament. It was his part of his prayer, part of his prayer life, and what he prayed and how he talked to God. And this verse you may be familiar with. You may not even be familiar with this verse. In fact, I had somebody come up and say, when you said that prophet's name, it was a book in the Old Testament, I don't even remember if I ever even knew that book was in the Old Testament. Really? So let's look at this verse from Genesis. No, I'm kidding. Habakkuk. You put that up there for me? Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known in your wrath. Remember mercy, O Lord. I want you to read this with me out loud. Would you do it? Lord. Now, I want you to read it kind of like you're talking to him and nobody else is here. Okay, can you do that? I mean, some of you want to pretend the person next to you isn't here anyhow. So just, I'll let you have your fantasy for a moment. And I want you to talk to the Lord, read this like it's just you and him. You know, so when you say Lord, it's kind of like, Lord! Okay, can you do that part just for me? Lord! Yeah, well, you didn't throw your hands up. Now, come on, when you're alone, I've seen some of you talk to each other. You're all Italian all of a sudden. When you get around people and you got to do this, you go, Lord, Lord. Lord! Okay, not, oh, Lord. No, Lord! Yeah, okay, you're getting it now. See, it's nice to break the ice. Now, if I had you do that again, you'd even get better at it. So I want you to read this with me like you're here alone with him and you're talking to him. Lord, I have heard of your fame. Very good. We hear the Lord's fame. As you read the scripture, you read about phenomenal things that God has done through the history from the beginning. We get snapshots of all these great things he's done for people. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, Old Testament and New. We get to read about it, so it's like we heard. Somebody wrote it down, and so we get to hear about it. We look at some of the deeds he's done, and we go, whoa, wow. One of those mouth droppers, one of those blank looks where you go, did you just see what I saw? You know, we get that kind of a thing when we hear about what God has done, or we've seen what he has done. If we went through this room, some of you would be able to say, I remember being at a place and this is what the Lord did for me, or this, I was in a service or I was in a small group and God showed up and the Spirit of the Lord was there and this great thing happened, a supernatural act of God, and someone was healed or someone was delivered or something that defied natural principles. You'd be able to testify these things and you just go, oh, wow. That's what Habakkuk is doing. He's saying, I've heard of your fame. I've read the prophets. I've read the books. I've read the stories. I've heard the stories from people. I stand in awe at your deeds. I look at the heavens and the earth and the things we sang about in the chorus about he is Yahweh. It's like, wow. And then Habakkuk gets to the point. He says, will you renew those kinds of acts Those kinds of demonstrations, those type of revelations, that it's not just what I would hear about or what I would read about. It's that I could see them. It's that I could write about them. It's that I could be there. It's that I could experience you, not from a distance, but at a nearness, and watch you do things like this. They don't have to be identical, Lord. They don't have to be the same. But Lord, things like that, would you renew them in my day, in my lifetime, Lord? Would you do these things again? Habakkuk is not praying this, saying, well, if you're really up there, show me a sign so I can believe in you. No, no. It's because Habakkuk believes in God, knows God. Out of that, he says, come on, more. Renew them. Let me see them. I already believe in you. I already trust in you. But we still need you. People need to know you. Would you please show up? Be who you are. Oh, don't be veiled. Don't be distant. He already believes. It's not a contest of, well, I'll believe in you, or I'll do this for you, or I'll do that for you, if you just... It wasn't a show me you're real. It was because I believe in you. And I've heard. And I stand in awe of what I've seen. And you're remarkable. But would you please renew these things in my day, in my time, make them known. And then he understands that it's not that he can coerce God because he's righteous on his own. It's not that, God, I've been pretty good, so you should hear my prayer. He says this. This is in that phrase where it says, remember your mercy. In your wrath, remember mercy. Because Habakkuk understands that he is not righteous in and of himself. And he does not deserve that God should listen to him or do what he asks. He says this, in your wrath against sin and sinful man, would you please remember mercy? In other words, have mercy on me, and would you answer my prayer even though I don't deserve it, the people I live among don't deserve it. Would you just remember mercy, and would you hear this prayer, and would you come again and do things like you have done in my time? That's what that verse is about. I want you to write this verse somewhere, the reference somewhere. If you don't have something to write with, or you can't underline it in your Bible or whatever else, then you can get a copy of the CD. You can go to our website in a few days, and this sermon, this message will be downloaded on a podcast, and you can remember it. And I want you, if you would please, join with us in praying this prayer on a regular basis. And you can add your heart with it, and you can add your words to it, but make it your prayer. Today, in addition and in light of this, I want to speak to you about how the Spirit follows the blood. The Spirit of God follows the blood of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, don't know if all of you are here, or some of you, or whatever. Last Sunday, we talked about, we looked at the Scripture, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, about repentance. And repentance is the whole asking forgiveness of our sin, and then turning away from our sin, and following after God with His help. And that for that forgiveness, we know that we need Jesus Christ's blood. See, the Spirit of the law brings death, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, brings liberty, freedom from the law of sin and death. And that what the law was weakened to do because of the sinful nature of man, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to give His life and shed His blood so that the legal requirements for the forgiveness of sin would be accomplished. So that God obeyed the law and satisfied the law, and we were the recipients of grace. You find that in Romans chapter 8. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, is followed. It's followed by something, and we know that it's the resurrection, that in his blood, and when we believe upon Jesus Christ, and his blood has power to forgive us of sin, that we are born again, there is new life. And after the resurrection, as the ascension took place, Jesus said, I have to go that I could send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. First the blood, and then Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. The Spirit follows after the blood. You hear that? Salvation first, the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit follows after. The acts of the Spirit follow after. The Spirit follows the blood. Last week we talked about this repentance. And not that it's a one-time thing, because the Scripture says to us, if we have sinned, turn to God. Continually run to him. Don't hide in your guilt. Don't hide in your condemnation. Just come clean and come right to God and get it over with and get it behind you and get forgiveness and move on in him and follow him. Let him pick you up and clean you and dust you off and keep you walking and keep you moving. You see, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, be poured out on you, that you will receive power. You see, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of liberty empowers us to do things beyond our natural ability, empowers us, it supersedes our natural tendencies. It means that we can not just do acts of the Holy Spirit, but we can become like Christ in our character, in our decisions, in our attitude. It works like this, and an inward attitude thing. Somebody hurts you, does something wrong to you, and you are bitter and you are angry towards them and you have unforgiveness towards them. Then when you come to Christ, or you are in Christ and you know that he has forgiven you, and the Spirit follows after the blood, the Spirit of God begins to speak to you and say, you know what? I'm going to empower you to forgive them. That is something beyond your natural tendency, because your natural tendency is for vengeance and bitterness and harboring that and not forgetting it and not moving past it. And God's Spirit, we can become like Christ and we can forgive. So it's an inward attitude thing. That's what can happen. That's what God's Spirit does in us, through us. It's not just acts and power and demonstration, but it's the demonstration of an attitude change that other people can begin to see. Now, that's a miracle. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with power. You see, God's Spirit transforms a person. You look at Peter, who followed Jesus. And Jesus is in his trial, and he is going through his beatings and suffering. And do you remember his disciple Peter was recognized by some people on different occasions and said, aren't you with Jesus, or aren't you one of his disciples? And he denied, he called down curses and said, I am not. He was afraid. But after Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and Peter was there. Peter then stands up in front of a town, a city, and begins to preach about the message of Jesus Christ, and that it was your sins that crucified him, and repent and return to God. What took place? He was walking with Jesus, discipled by Jesus, but buckled because of fear and persecution. But when the Spirit of God came into Peter, life began to change, and he could stand up where he was once fearful. He could stand up And now by the Spirit's power, declare the truth of Jesus Christ in the face of persecution, in the face of misunderstanding, in the face of misrepresentation, in the face of mockery. And 3,000 people get saved. You look at Paul, Acts chapter 9, his conversion. He's out persecuting the church. And a light shines from heaven and a voice comes. And Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, name changed, Saul goes blind for 3 days. God speaks to Ananias and says, you go pray for this man Saul, who persecutes the church, for I have chosen him and he is my servant. And Ananias goes and prays for Saul, who has been blind for 3 days, prays for him for his sight to return and that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And things like scales fell from Paul's eyes. He's filled with the Spirit, and he begins now teaching and preaching in the synagogues the gospel and for the people of God who he was killing. Now, what does that? That is God's Spirit that follows a repentant life. The blood of Jesus Christ applied to us through faith in him. The Spirit follows, comes after, continues to build in us. That's a transformed life. You see, it's not stopping with, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. Help me behave myself now. Help me do better. And just walk through life like that. It's about the fullness of God being revealed. Yes, in salvation, but by God's Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the character nature of God that brings revelation to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathed on people to write this, that they could write. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us when we read it to understand it. The Holy Spirit brings revelation. The Holy Spirit brings revelation about Christ's blood. The Holy Spirit continues to bring revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's going to do and who God is. That's what God's Spirit is supposed to do in us as we allow him. Remember the beginning. God will not violate our will or our choice. He will contend with us. He will strive with us in the sense of loving us and drawing us and speaking to us to get our attention that we would follow him by our own choice. Understand this, that God's Spirit can flow more freely in and through you if you and I choose to let him. If we choose to let him. If we allow him. Because he will not violate your will. That's why God in Scripture you'll find in some places where he turns people over to their sin. He has tried to win them over. He has poured out his love. He has been there. He's tried to get their attention. And they will not follow him and they will go their own way. And that's why Paul instructs, he said, turn them over, let them go their own way. And hopefully in doing that, there will be a point where they will come to their senses and then return to God. God turns them over not to, that's it, you're sealed, and never. He turns them over so that maybe they'll come to their senses and return to him. The Spirit is continually desirous to live in us, sanctify and perfect us, and use us and reveal God to us so much more than we give him credit for. It's why we can come today and we can pray like Habakkuk did and say, Lord, I heard your fame and your deeds, and I stand, and they're awesome, and I stand in awe of them. But those things, would you renew them in me? Renew them in my time. It's, in other words, I want to give you more room in my life and more attention and higher priority to do things in and through my life. And I know I'm not worthy, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have shown me mercy that triumphs over judgment, that triumphs over your anger against sin. Thanks for being kind to me. As I read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and Paul writes two letters to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about the foolishness of the cross. To those who believe in Jesus Christ and the cross, to them it is salvation. We are grateful for this symbol of the cross. Though it speaks of death and it speaks of judgment and it speaks of a horrible crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we're so grateful for that cross. Because without Jesus Christ laying down his life, there was no chance of redemption for you or I. And God knew it. And so he satisfied the law with Jesus' perfect blood, sinless life. And so we look at that cross, and to us, it's not foolishness. But to those who don't believe, that is foolishness. Human wisdom says that's foolishness. But to those who believe, it is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God to show grace and mercy. Human wisdom does not show grace and mercy. It doesn't make sense to the human mind, the human intellect. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, you got two choices. You can hang on to human wisdom and human intellect and human thinking and make that your priority, or you can cling to the cross and you can believe upon Jesus Christ because there's the power of God and the salvation. He goes on in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and basically we've got two choices. He says you can rely upon the power of God demonstrated in God's Spirit, or you can rely and rest on human wisdom. And Paul writes in the first chapter and second chapter about the power of God, the power of the cross, the power of God's Spirit, and he writes about the other choice of human wisdom. To the world, it's foolishness. To those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. And if God had weakness, his weakness is stronger than the strength of men. Paul writes, he says, I didn't come to you in human wisdom. I didn't come to you in great arguments. I didn't come to you with a battle of intellect. I came to you with the Spirit of God's demonstration and power, that you can rest upon God's power rather than put all of your rest and all of your eggs in the basket of human wisdom and intellect to save you. I know that this is not tolerant gospel in a tolerant age, but you know what? The reality is we got two choices. I'm not saying we shouldn't be smart. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise. But our wisdom must come from God. And he who lacks wisdom can ask God for it, and he who asks, God gives it generously in the book of James. He says that to us. You lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it generously. We've got two choices. You continue, or I continue, to rely upon human wisdom and intellect, and that's where I'm going to bank saving my life on. Or I can rest upon the Spirit's power. Don't think for a minute that we can say, well, I kind of want to do both. I want to get in on the blood Jesus part, so I can be saved. But the whole Spirit's demonstration power thing, you know, I'm just happy to kind of be saved. And we don't understand the blood. We don't understand salvation. And we certainly don't understand the Spirit's power. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians. Just this verse, chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Lord, I've heard of your power. I've heard of your awesome deeds. Renew them in my time. Make them known. Oh, let your mercy be poured out on me that you would still do this, though I'm not worthy, except through Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to hear a nice gospel message of grace. Let me feel good. Let me know that God's on my side, and that's right, that's not wrong, it's true. But just do that little bit for me, and then I can walk out. Now I don't have to surrender over anything. I don't have to give any more room for God's Spirit. I don't have to take any steps of great faith. That's what Christianity is? Christianity, the power of Christ's blood. Jesus said, I've got to go so the Spirit can come. I mean, would we have stayed that day and say, no, forget the Spirit thing, just kind of stay here, we just like it like this. If you have a problem with the Spirit, then go back to the blood, because it will lead you on and bring you to the revelation that comes by God's Spirit. The same Spirit that was there in the beginning at creation, the same Spirit that hovered over the dark, the void, the same Spirit that breathed upon people to write this, the same Spirit that worked on your heart and my heart to reveal God's kindness, that we could come to a place, we discovered Jesus found us, and we wanted to be found, and we believed in Him as our Savior. The same Spirit that was working at that point now comes with a baptism and with a power that we can supersede our natural tendency because of Him. Christianity is not about human wisdom and intellect. It is about knowing God and resting, our faith resting upon God's power and demonstration. And there is wisdom in it. It is the wisdom of God. But it is not the wisdom of this age. It's been the same contest all the way through time. You look at Elijah in Mount Carmel. A fire from heaven. Let me tell you how great this power of God is. God has never asked, begged, borrowed for some type of power from spiritual darkness or from the devil. Never. But I want you to know that darkness recognizes His power and wishes they had it. You hear me? You look at Acts chapter 8. There was a sorcerer, a conjurer of spells in spiritual darkness and incantations. And he, Simon, the sorcerer, saw the power of God upon Jesus' disciples and says, I want that power. Touch me so that I can have it. See, spiritual darkness and their tricks and acts, it's about them. It's about deception. It's about that which is selfish. It's about gain. Always has been. You look at the devil. He was all about trying to be equal with God. And he tries to lay fear on our souls, that if we dare step towards God, He's going to make it harder, more difficult, and He's going to get us. You hear me? Empty threats. He can turn it up. But we rely upon the power of God. That sorcerer, he was so desirous of that power. Even darkness wants that kind of power because they realize something. They don't have it. And the devil will never have it. Satan will never have it. But the followers of Jesus Christ, who are washed in the blood and understand that the Spirit follows the blood, that the Spirit of life lives in them, baptizes them, empowers them, gives them revelation beyond human wisdom, that you and I, through Jesus Christ, can be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's not without a battle. It's not without a testing of the faith. But either we ask this prayer and give God opportunity and believe Him for it, or we just recite it. The Spirit follows the blood. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter, transformed by the Holy Spirit's baptism, stands up without fear, and in his message, he says, "Repent then, first the blood, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." I like that. I like the phrase he used. It's not, they're just not forgiven. They are wiped out, gone, annihilated, evaporated, disappeared, no longer exist, can't be retrieved again. Wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's what the Spirit of God did in Pentecost. The Spirit was outpoured to empower and baptize and refresh weary disciples. Jesus left. They're just gathering together day after day to pray. Tired, wondering, remembering his word, trying to recall things, huddled together, knowing persecution is on and around them. That would sap anybody. And then what Jesus said came true. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. Power. In times of refreshing, a refreshing of the faith, a refreshing of what we know, the refreshing of his presence, the refreshing of his power, the refreshing and the surgence of victory, the refreshing that comes when you're doing battle. Refreshing. Times of refreshing. I don't know where you're at in your walk, but maybe you are at the place where your Habakkuk is, because he is asking for a refreshing. Lord, I've heard of it. I stand in awe. But would you renew them? Would you come and refresh them? Because in it I'm refreshed, and the people are refreshed. And we get to know you. Refresh us. Revive us. Bring awakening to my Christianity that has become just mundane, or this is all there is. There is so much more to God. And we tell the world, don't rely on human wisdom, you know, let God out of the box. But somewhere along the line in our Christianity, we formed another box. And we think it's great, and we think it's bigger, but God is not interested in living in our box. The only box he's interested in living in is the parameters of his word, and his kingdom knows no bounds. So today, Lord, we're glad to read about it. And we're glad to hear the stories. We're glad to look at the revivalists of history. We're grateful to look at church history and all that you've done. We're grateful for the testimonies that have taken place in recent years or weeks or months. But Lord, would you renew them in our day? In our time, would you make yourself, make them known again? Oh, Lord, please, would you refresh us in our walk and in our passion, in our commitment, in our spiritual fortitude? Would you come? Would you come again like that, Lord? Do something new. We've asked forgiveness. We've repented. We will continue to repent as you continue to convict. But Lord, Would you renew these things? Would your spirit follow the blood again? The blood of Jesus has been applied to my life because of my faith and my confession, my repentance, my turning away. Now would your spirit follow? Baptize me, immerse me, empower me, change me. Hear my prayers. Do glorious things for people. Show up when we get together. Let your presence be strong. Bring an awakening and a reviving. Bring an outpouring. Bring a visitation. Whatever you want to call it, God, just please come. Show up, and I will put my faith at rest on your Spirit's demonstration. Do things outside of my understanding. You can explain it to me later. Do things that are too grand for me to think or understand at the moment. Do you understand? That's why they call it signs and wonders. Inexplicable things other than it's God. Do you want a new openness to the Spirit of the Lord? Do you need a deeper dimension of God's Spirit to flow in your life? Do you need His power and His help to overcome? Yes, you have forgiveness, but to overcome maybe habits or to overcome an attitude, or just you need a time of refreshing, or you need deeper revelation of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it. Paul writes it. He says, who can know the Spirit of God except the Spirit? Who can know the spirit of a man except the Spirit within him? But thanks be to God, His Holy Spirit can reveal to us the mind of God. That means you and I can know what God is up to. We can know what He desires. We can know Him because His Spirit, if we will open ourselves up to the one who Jesus sent, His Spirit can tell us and show us, lead you, empower you. This is not about huddling together and just saying, well, we want to have a nice church. This isn't about just gathering together and, you know, getting a little emotional comfort and soulish comfort from God. It's not just about that. It's about getting the transformation that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, followed by His Spirit to work in and through us, the character and the power of Jesus Christ. Things that Jesus did, He spoke words of life and people were so captivated. He speaks by some authority like we've never heard before. And the demonstrations of His words and His prayers and His touching and His acts and the miracles was opportunity for people to say, I heard about stuff like this. Now I've seen it. It's being renewed in my day and my time. I have a decision to make. Do I believe or don't I? Because there are many who saw Jesus that still didn't believe. It's about you and I knowing Him and allowing His Spirit to be in us and move through us. His Spirit that will empower you to be a better child, a better student, have hope for your future. It's about His Spirit that helps us become better parents, better husbands, better wives, employees, managers. It's about His Spirit in us that helps us to become more like Him. It's a character change, but it's also a power that goes beyond our limitations, that as we speak or as we pray or as we touch or as we give counsel, He breathes on it with a power and an anointing like the disciples had, like the apostles had, that He just begins to show up because His Spirit has filled your life. That kind of power, a refreshing, a reviving. Wouldn't it be interesting, not for the sake of pride or argument, But wouldn't it be something that if there was another Azusa, wouldn't it be something if there were prayer meetings where God showed up, where fire of heaven broke out, the things could be written about? Who knows? Maybe it's the Avon Road revival. Maybe it's the Sparta outpouring. I like every once in a while when somebody says, oh yeah, have you ever seen where the old church was? And even before that, this is where the church was. If Jesus should tarry in his return, wouldn't it be wonderful for our kids to say, oh yeah, I remember when the church was on Avon before it was here. Don't misunderstand. This isn't about moving. This isn't about leaving this location. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have to give this building over to a evangelical, Pentecostal, full Bible-believing Hispanic church? And that we gave it over because God was doing something and we want to be a blessing to someone else as God was blessing us to do something different. Who knows? That some outpouring happened. That all of a sudden this church started to put out more missionaries. And that maybe as the numbers grew, they never really grew large because every time we hit the capacity, we started planting a church somewhere. That it's not about, yep, New Life in Sparta, we're the biggest thing going. No, we still might only be a few hundred people, but we keep planting churches of 40 and 50. And only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit of God can put that in the heart of people. Yeah, I'd look forward to the day. Walk around and say, yeah, we got to plant another church over here. We need you to be part of the core and the key people. Love you, want us to be with you, but Gino, they need you over there. I don't know, maybe Cashton needs a church of about 60 Pentecostal people. Where's our dreaming in God's Spirit? Because we allow Him to take hold of us. We allow ourselves to be refreshed. We allow ourselves to be transformed. Yes, forgiven. But the Spirit follows the blood. The Spirit follows the blood. And when the blood has been applied to our life, the Spirit is there, ready to fill us and empower us and break the holds on us and fill us with Him and give us greater capacity and less limitation and transform our thinking from all the things we thought we couldn't do to now the things that God can empower us to do, because all things are possible to him who believes in Jesus Christ. All things are possible through Jesus Christ the Lord, the one who did things from old, the one who did things in the gospel, who's still doing things today and still doing miracles. I'm glad for them to happen overseas and on missions field, but it's time here in our life, in our day, in our town, in our home, in our business. It is time. And in your wrath, remember mercy. Stand up, please, all over this room. You can clap and you can shout and I can get all wound up. And that's great, but that is not what a Pentecostal meeting is about only. Oh, now the other shoe dropped. I just kind of like to clap and jump almost. You too. Please take it under this table and just move it down to the end. I trust you guys. Thank you, boys. I would like every deacon wife, and my wife to just step out from where you're standing, please. I'm going to ask that you would start about here, and you would face each other, and just make two lines, one here, spread out to down here. Okay, this is not confusing. Two lines, right down here. This is the first time we've done this in this church since I've been here. Oh, we have them up here and praying for people. You guys are doing really good. You really are. You're doing great.
Thank you, thank you.
Back up a little. Back up a little. We have people up here from time to time and say, you know, if you have a need, you come up and let somebody pray with you. Whether you're visiting today or you're here all the time or every once in a while, you know that we pray with people. So the Word instructs us to do. Anoint people, pray for people. The method doesn't matter. But how many of you have ever been in a meeting in the old days where you walked through a prayer line? Anybody? It's not necessarily that I'm old enough. I was just fortunate and blessed enough for the Lord to experience that on a few different occasions when I was younger. And it doesn't matter if somebody's standing here praying for you or if they just kneel by you or they pray with you over the phone. But this morning, here's the call. I've asked forgiveness of my sins, which if you haven't, you can do that right now. Say, God, forgive me of my sins. I want you in my life. I want your Spirit to come in and change my life. I need a dimension of you in my life that I have not known, not experienced. Please come into my heart. Forgive me. You can ask him right where you stand. And you know what? God hears your prayer. And he responds. That's the good news of the gospel. And you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right where you stand. And you can get in on this. But we're going to have a prayer line. And this is the call. If you are ready to say, I need God's Spirit to be loosed in my life, and I need to allow him, I need to be more open to what he wants to do in me, through me. Or I need a refreshing of God. Or this prayer of Habakkuk has gripped my soul today, and I need to apply it into the depths of my heart and being, and I want it to happen. Or you want to be used by God. Some way, somehow, in your mind, you want to be used by the Lord. But you hear me. You cannot give what you do not have. I can want to give $1 million to missions, but I can't if I don't have it. And you want to be used by God, but before you can do some of these things, a greater dimension of His Spirit needs to be recognized and realized in your own life by you. Or you're here and you say, I've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need you to baptize the Holy Ghost with evidence of, with biblical, physical evidence of speaking in tongues. I need a baptism of the Holy Spirit to happen in my life. I need revelation of God's Spirit to come into my life. I need new, fresh days of the Spirit of God to come into my life. Any of those things. Then you're going to respond to this. And what's going to happen is, this is a prayer line. They might reach out and touch you. They may not. They're just going to be praying and interceding for you. And you're going to come out of your seat, and those of you on this side, you can't come walking this way. You've got to go out those doors. You're going to take effort. You're going to have to go out those doors and around and come in those doors and walk around by this wall and to get in line and walk through here slowly as they're praying for you. And you've got to be open to what God's doing. This is not, I'm just going for a stroll and I just want to, no, no. I am entering into the middle of people's prayers for me, and I am hungry and thirsty for God to renew some things in my life and in my day. You could say, this is weird, this is different, what are they doing here? Listen, when your car's broke, you go to a mechanic. When you're sick, you go to a doctor. If you are spiritually hungry, then you need to go to God, and we need to have people praying for us. I have been through prayer lines. I have had people pray for me. I have prayed for myself. I have done these things, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. So don't look at this like it's weird. You look at this like, hey, you know what? I just blew a flat on the highway, and I don't have a spare. And I need to call somebody from towing roadside service to change it. And you call for their help. That's what this is. I need God's help. And I need His Spirit to begin to flow in me and help me and change me and transform me. And when you walk through this line, you are seeking Him. I don't want you walking through here as couples holding hands or with your family. You just walk through as an individual. You just walk through. And you come out the other end, you may want to find a place of prayer. You may want to go back to your seat. You may want to hop in your car. Doesn't matter. You're coming up and saying, I need Jesus' touch. I need something broken in my life that I have not been able to break on my own. And I need the Spirit's power in me. Jesus might just deliver you of it and touch you and it'll be gone. Or He may put the power of His Spirit in you that when you are tempted, you will run from it because God's Spirit's going to help you. And when the enemy comes, you'll be able to stand your ground and resist him. That's what this is about. So they're going to pray. They're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. They're going to seek God's presence. And when you walk through here, you might feel something, you might sense something, you might just slowly go through, not feel a thing, but we're hoping that when you walk out into your life, something's going to be different. And you're going to follow up on this. This is not some little magical little thing where I walk through and life's going to be okay. This is where you walk through and God's Spirit is going to touch you and come into you to give you power to live different out the other end. This is not a quick fix. This is a long time transformation and change from this day forward. That's what it is.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.